Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Perfect. Everything is beautiful. Baruch Hashem.
That's good to hear. I like your optimism. That's really, really...
You gotta try. What are you gonna complain? Who's gonna listen to me complain?
Let me tell you, my friend, I am the same. I am trying all the time to be happy. I think that's important.
Okay, you know, being happy, you know, you try and make other people that are around you, they see the optimism, they see happiness. They, you know, it has an effect a little bit. It rubs off of them. So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. But
So, Parashat Vayakel?
Yeah, this week's star portion is Vayakel. And it talks about how Moses assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandments to observe Shabbat. He then also conveys God's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan and making of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And obviously the people donate the required materials in abundance, you know, bringing gold and silver and copper.
Yeah.
And blue and purple and red dyed wool. Goat hair and linen and animal skins, wood and all, and it goes on and on and on. And Moses had to tell them, the Jews, enough, stop giving. We have enough, we don't need any more. Which was interesting, you know, how many times do you hear, stop giving money, we don't need any more, we have plenty, we have all that we need, we don't need any more donations. But that was in the Mishnah that they had to stop bringing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it reminds me of, there was once the famous film of Fiddler on the Roof, and, you know, it's got these memorable moments, and the scene where we had Perchik's proclamation, he said, money is the world's curse.
Yeah.
And Tevye, his defiant reply was, may the Lord smite me with it. I should have that curse. I think the stands out as, stands out as prominent, because indeed, money is a source of humanity's greatest friction. Most, if you go look in secular law and Jewish law and in the world, most marital disputes revolve around money. Most disagreements brought before the world's courts are also about financial matters. So you see that it has some negative connotation on it. Money is, as he said, is the world's curse. However, I think also money is also a source of inspiration. Now, we try and look at the good aspects of it also. I remember someone was sending me once an interesting wording on when Warren Buffett, I think it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I think it was in 2006, his announcement that he was going to be giving $85 billion to a contribution to the Bill and I think it was his wife or something, Gates Foundation. And I think it stood out as one of the noblest moments in our time, because I don't know, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know of a single act that inspired more philanthropy and generosity worldwide. Because philanthropy, obviously, causes philanthropy. You know, the concept now of pledges of matching grants to charitable institutions rarely fail. They always inspire others to give. Indeed, money can serve to ennoble and to inspire people. You know, if you look at it, you think that money is neither a curse nor a blessing.
Yeah.
It's our attitude that determines what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah, and what we do with it.
Correct, exactly. Because when we view money as an agent that provides our needs, you know, comforts, our luxuries, it inspires greed. And when others take an inordinary large slice, as you know, slice of the pie, then our greed is triggered, and we want more. But when others use the money to spread happiness, blessings, goodwill, our entire perspective changes. Their example of what they're doing inspires us to overcome our greed and to join them in making other people happy, in doing good deeds, in giving charity. It's the other person that's enabling me to put away my greed for a second and see, I have this money, how should I spend it? What should I do with it? And this perhaps is why Moses, I think, called the entire nation to congregate before the Mishkan, before the tabernacle was built. You know, having experienced an incredible moment at Sinai where the whole nation, the whole Jewish nation, you know, melded into a single entity with total unity. They all came with one purpose. And Moses wanted to replicate this singularity in the tabernacle. It was one time that happened. And Moses knew that the single most potent barrier to unity is money. And therefore, he addressed this barrier, the money issue, before all others, before anything else. Because before announcing the fundraising campaign to build the tabernacle in Mishkan, Moses shared the law. And what did he say? He said, you shall not kindle a fire in all of your dwellings on the day of Shabbat.
Yeah.
Though this law is somewhat irrelevant, if you think about it, what connection does it have to do with the construction of the tabernacle? However, it is most relevant to the unity of purpose that must precede it. It's going to happen afterwards. Because if you look, think about it. Fire is a metaphor for passion. You know, our passion on Shabbat must not be kindled by or invested in, you know, other matters such as beauty or security of our dwelling places. Because from Shabbat, this ethic of Shabbat must spill over into the rest of the week. Money should not be viewed as an agent that provides the needs, the comfort, the luxuries of our dwelling place. Rather, I think that we should look at it that it is meant to be a vehicle through which holiness and goodwill are delivered. And our sages told us, and they taught, that gold was created to be used in the tabernacles. That was the sole purpose of why gold was created. Now, even though we are entitled to keep the extra gold for ourselves, however, its primary purpose is not for pouring into our dwelling places, but to be used in the service of the divine cause. So, there's nothing wrong with having the money and living well, living comfortably, being able to do what I always desire to do. That is fine. But it's when we recognize that money is a vehicle that serves the divine, then what happens is it ceases to be a source of friction. There is no friction between what I want to do and my having the money. Because if you look at it also, fire carries an additional connotation. Besides the fact that it serves as a metaphor for passion, it serves also as a metaphor for anger and divisiveness. However, when we recognize that money is a vehicle that serves the divine, then what happens is we're causing the spreading holiness and goodwill, then it ceases to be a friction between us and our family, between people and people, between us and our spouses, between us and our friends. We stop fighting over the size of our, you know, respective slices of the pie, for the lack of better terms. And the fire of anger and divisiveness are not kindled in our dwelling places. Why? Because we're not looking at the money as well, as this is something that I can dwell amazing with and I can live the comfort and luxury, but rather it's a vehicle for me to be able to help people. It's a vehicle for me to be able to bring godliness in the world, to do good for other people. And, you know, when our ancestors embraced this truth and were inspired to the heights of unity and collective generosity, as we saw in the time of the, when Moses was collecting the money for the tabernacle, Moses initiated the construction of the tabernacle. And the fundraising, Moses was a phenomenal fundraiser. He was absolutely amazing. And the fundraising campaign that he had was so successful that in the end, the people, the donors, were begged to stop contributing. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Donors are begged, please don't give us any more money. We don't need any more. And once they were taught the true importance of money, what happened was they stopped trying to keep it for themselves. They wanted to be able to help a neighbor. They wanted to be able to distribute it to people. And that's what Moses was trying to teach them. Moses was trying to teach them that the fact that we see that a person, that we were able to, by Sinai, all be together. Money, there was no money then. We were all rich together. Then there was no friction. But the moment that we had gold, the moment that we started doing things and making money, all of a sudden we had this friction. And that's what he was trying to teach them by building up the tabernacle, by the Mishkan, that all the money that we have, we can always use it for good. We can always help another person. That was who Moses was. That was what he tried to impart onto the Jewish nation. And that's what I think is one of the greatest lessons, you know, that we can learn from this historical question of Yaakov, of erecting the Mishkan and Tabernacle. But even though it was made out of the most beautiful things, the thing that can be used for the worst things. Money can divide people as we can believe. But we're able to use it for one thing. To be able to bring all the Jews together. To be able to bring and make the Mishkan, the tabernacle for God, that He should dwell in it, I think is a phenomenal lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. And we can, you know, attach it to our lives.
Yeah. Very nice. Now, Rabbi, what about services in Shaarei Tzedek?
Services we have from every Shabbat. We have a Friday 6 p.m. Candle lighting this week is 5:58. So we're going to do afternoon service and evening service at 6 p.m. and then morning service is at 9 a.m. And we're coming even closer to the holiday of Purim,
yeah,
which is the greatest holiday enough for kids. Kids love it. They're able to be themselves, even as adults. We can truly be who we want to be. You know, we can dress up to who we want to be. No one can make fun of us, and it's a beautiful, beautiful holiday. So it starts Saturday night, March 19th, and it is also Sunday, March 20th. So March 19th, we're going to have Megillah reading and a Purim party at whoever's able to come at Shaarei Tzedek at 9 p.m. Saturday night, because Shabbat doesn't come out so late that week. And the big event that we're going to be doing Sunday in the Jewish Community Center for the whole community, Purim with the theme, Purim in China, is going to be at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon in the JCC. 3:30, if anyone hadn't heard the Megillah that day, we'll read the Megillah at 3:30, and then 4 o'clock the party will start. We're going to have Chinese buffet dinner. We're going to have a spectacular magician entertainer. There's going to be dress-up every kid that comes dressed up will get a prize. There's going to be arts and crafts for the kids. There's going to be food and music. And it's going to be at the Jewish Community Center. And we do need to have RSVPs for the event, so we know how many people we need to cater for.
Yeah.
So that, you can call the Jewish Community Center,
it's,
or you can call
519-973-1772.
Correct. Or you can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com, and for all the information. So we're looking forward to having everyone there.
Great. And are the students invited too?
Everyone's invited. Everyone. The whole Jewish community.
Yeah,
everyone.
Great. That's great.
So, so that's it's a beautiful thing. You know, everyone comes out together. So, so I encourage everyone to come and see the true festivities of what Purim is.
That's great. So, Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Ilan. Shabbat Shalom to you. And God willing, we will talk next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Yes.
Be well. Bye.